Low-end mono checks from scratch for 90s rave flavor, intermediate Ableton live lesson. Let's build a workflow you can keep forever. All right, before we touch any plugins, let's set the mindset. In drum and bass and jungle, the low end is the engine. If your kick and sub aren't solid in mono, the drop might sound huge in your headphones and then it turns to soup or vanishes on a club rig, a phone speaker, or some janky festival delay tower. The 90s rave thing especially? That sound assumes mono compatibility. Wide chaos up top, but the engine stays dead center and reliable. Today you're going to build three things. A one-button mono check on your master, a disciplined low-end bus that keeps you honest, and a sub that stays centered but still shows up on smaller speakers through controlled harmonics. Then I'll give you an actual routine you can repeat every time you start a tune. Step 0, quick session prep. If you care about consistency, pick a sample rate and stick to it. 48k is common now, 44.1 is totally fine too. Warp modes, for breaks and drums. Beats mode with preserved transients often keeps that crunchy, old-school punch. Complex Pro can be smoother but sometimes it smears the bite. For bass audio, if it's a resample, often no warp is the cleanest choice. And most important, give yourself headroom. Don't chase loudness right now. Keep your master peaking around -6 dBFS while you mix. That old school weight comes from balance and focus, not smashing the master from bar 1. Now step 1. The one button mono check monitoring rack. This is monitoring only. You're not exporting in mono. You're just checking what happens when stereo collapses. Go to your master track, drop an audio effect rack on it and name it monitor mono check. Inside the rack, create two chains. Name the first chain stereo. Name the second chain mono. On the mono chain, add utility and set width to 0%. That's it. Now map the chain selector to macro 1, and name that macro stereo slash mono. Set the chain zone so one end is stereo and the other end is mono, so when you flip the macro it's an instant slash B. If you've got a MIDI controller, map that macro to a button. Because once you get used to this, you'll be tapping mono like a nervous tick every time you touch the kick or bass. Teacher note here, do this early in your template. Don't wait until the mix is almost done, because mono checking late is where heartbreak happens. If mono reveals a problem at the end, you'll end up undoing half your sound design. Step 2. Add metering so your eyes can back up your ears. After that mono check rack on the master, add spectrum. Increase the block size to something like 8192 so the low end reads more steadily, and set the averaging to medium or slow. Then add a neutral utility after that, and leave it at width 100 and gain 0. That utility is just there as a diagnostic tool, so you can quickly invert left or right if you suspect polarity weirdness. Important: phase invert is not a make it louder button, it's a flashlight. If flipping polarity makes things louder, that's a sign something is fighting. You still need to fix the cause, like timing, layering, or stereo processing. Step 3. Create a dedicated low-end bus. This is where we'd enforce discipline so the tune doesn't turn into low-frequency chaos. Make two tracks, one for kick and one for sub. Select them both and group them. Name the group LOWEDND bus. On the LOWEDND bus itself, put EQ8 first. Add a high pass, somewhere around 20 to 30 HE, fairly steep, 24 or 48 dB per octave. You're not removing bass, you're removing rumble that steals headroom and makes limiters freak out. Optional but useful, add glue compressor next on the bus, super gentle. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks, not a pump. Then put utility on the bus and narrow it. Start at 0% width while you're making decisions. Yes, it feels strict, that's the point. Later, if you really want a little breadth above the true sub, you can relax it. But first, build the engine in the center. Now step 4. Build a 90s rave style sub that survives mono. We're going to do the classic sine approach with tasteful harmonics, because that's the easiest way to get that you feel at low end, without relying on stereo tricks. On your sub track, add operator. Oscillator should be a sine wave. Set voices to 1 so it's mono. Keep glide off, or if you want that slippery jungle vibe, set a tiny portamento, like 20 to 60 milliseconds. After operator, add saturator. Pick a character like analog clip or soft sine and keep the drive small, maybe 2 to 6 dB. Then match the output so it's the same loudness when you bypass it. That a slash B is crucial. What you want is not distortion, it's audibility. Those harmonics give the bass line shape on small speakers, so a phone can't reproduce 50 Hz, but it can reproduce the upper content that tells your brain the bass is there. After saturator, add EQ8. If saturation makes it boxy, a small dip in the 200 to 400 Hz area can clean it. And if the harmonics are too loud, a gentle low pass around 120 to 180 Hz can keep it from turning into mid-bass. Then add utility on the SUB track and set width to 0%. If your utility has bass mono, you can set it around 120 Hz as an extra safety net, but honestly, just keeping the sub track at width 0 already does most of the work. Quick performance tip: in jungle and DNB, sub note lengths matter as much as tone. Try 8-note movement with a couple of longer holds leading into fills. A steady sub against a moving break is a big part of that rolling hypnosis. Step 5. Kick fundamentals. You need to pick a lane with the sub. Either the kick lives above the sub fundamental, or it shares territory, but with timing and envelopes that don't fight. On the kick track, put EQ8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to remove junk. Then consider where your sub is strongest. If your sub is really living around, say, 45 to 55 Hz, you might dip the kick slightly there, or you might keep the kick's weight a bit higher so they don't mask. There's no universal number. The rule is, you want one clear main weight at any moment, not two sources wrestling for the same exact spot. Then add drum bus on the kick. This is very DNB friendly. Add a bit of drive, maybe 2 to 8%, and keep crunch subtle. Leave boom off at first because boom can easily collide with the sub. Later, if you want extra knock, you can try boom tuned above the sub fundamental, not on top of it. Now, a massive tuning tip that people underestimate. If your kick and sub feel weird in mono, sometimes it's not EQ. It's alignment. Nudge the kick earlier or later by 1 to 10 milliseconds and recheck mono. That tiny shift can change how the transient and the sub's first cycle line up. In other words, mono phase problems are often just who speaks first problems. Step 6. Run the actual mono checks. This is your routine. This is the muscle memory. First, balance check in mono. Toggle your master to mono with your rack. Loop an 8-bar section at the drop. Now set levels so the kick is present, but it doesn't erase the sub-sustain. The sub should feel continuous and stable, not like it's wobbling loud and quiet from note to note, unless you intended that. If the low end thins out or disappears in mono, that's your alarm bell. Something low is stereo or out of phase or layered in a way that cancels. Common culprits are chorus or unison on a sub, stereo wideness, or two subs stacked with slightly different tuning. Second, do a quick phase or polarity check, still in mono monitoring. On the SUB track utility, toggle phase invert on the left or right briefly. Listen. If the low end suddenly becomes stronger, something is fighting somewhere in the chain. Do the same test on the kick if you've layered kicks. Then undo it. Don't leave it flipped as a fix. Use that information to go fix the real cause: timing, layering, or removing stereo processing from the low region. Third, stereo hygiene. Keep width out of the sub range, but let the tops breathe. On any bass layers that are not the true sub, use EQ8 in M/S mode. Put a high pass on the side channel around 120 to 200 Hz, fairly steep. That means the width starts above that point, and the low stays in the mid. Centered on breaks and amens, same idea. If they're wide and exciting, great, but make sure their low end isn't drifting around. You can narrow them with utility, or do a side high pass around 150 Hz in M/S EQ. Extra coach move: build a second monitor mode for low end focus, not just mono. Because mono tells you compatibility, but it doesn't force your brain to focus on kick and sub balance. Extend your monitoring rack on the master so you have three modes: normal stereo, mono, and mono plus a low pass at about 200 Hz. Use EQ8 for that low pass, 24 dB per octave. When you flip into that mode, the hats and stabs disappear, and suddenly your kick-sub relationship becomes obvious. It's like soloing the engine without actually soloing tracks. Also, don't trust one volume. Do your mono checks at a quiet, conversation level and at a moderate level. Quiet reveals whether your bass line is readable through harmonics and balance. Moderate reveals if you're overdriving saturation or compressing the bus too hard. If your low end only works when it's loud, you're probably relying too much on pure sub fundamental and not enough on controlled harmonics. Another timed main check that's super underrated: if something feels inconsistent, zoom in, resample a bar of the drop, or look at the clip view. Find the kick transient start and the sub waveform start. You're looking for who hits first, and whether the sub starts cleanly. Micro timing fixes can beat 10 minutes of EQ guessing. Step 7. Arrangement checkpoints for 90s rave flavor. This is where we stop thinking like mixing only and start thinking like mixing through arrangement, which is very 90s. Make the first bar of the drop simple and centered, kick, sub, minimal break, prove the engine is strong right away. Then do bass swaps every 8 or 16 bars, but keep the sub consistent. Swap the mid-bass or reese layer above 120 Hz so the energy changes without destabilizing the foundation. Use an old-school fill trick. In the last half bar before a phrase change, pull the sub down or mute it for a quarter to half a bar. When it comes back, it feels massive, and it's mono-safe drama. And keep classic rave stabs wide above roughly 300 Hz while the low end stays narrow. That contrast is the vibe. Now a quick center of gravity sanity check. Put a utility on the LOWEND bus and automate it down by minus 12 dB for one bar during the drop. If the track still feels like it has bass presence, your harmonic and mid layers are doing their job. If it turns into cardboard, you need a little more controlled harmonic support, not necessarily more sub-level. If you want to go even more authentic without fuzzing the sub, make a parallel harmonic layer. Duplicate your sub track. Call it sub harm. High pass it around 90 to 120 Hz so it's not adding real sub. Add saturator or overdrive to generate harmonics. Then low pass around 300 to 600 Hz so it doesn't become a full mid bass. Keep it quiet. The goal is, on a phone, you can still read the bass rhythm even if you can't feel the fundamental. Finally, a mini practice exercise you can do in 15 to 25 minutes. Make a 16 bar loop at 170 to 174 BPM. Drop in an amen style break. Add a kick pattern like two-step or kick on 1 and 3, and program a simple operator sign sub-line with mostly eighth notes and a couple held notes. Build your monitor rack. This audio version is shortened for playback.